I'm Amy Foster, Associate Professor in the Department of History, and you are listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast.
Ocala.
Tavares.
Daytona Beach.
Oviedo.
Apopka.
Orlando.
Lake Helen.
Winter Park.
Eustace.
Sanford.
Welcome to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Riches, the regional initiative for collecting the histories, experiences, and stories of Central Florida, is an umbrella program housing interdisciplinary public history projects that bring together different departments at the University of Central Florida with profit and nonprofit sectors of the community in order to promote the collection and preservation of the region's history. By facilitating research that records and presents the stories of communities, businesses, and institutions in Central Florida, Riches seeks to provide the region with a deeper sense of its heritage. This series will feature a podcast every 2 weeks, in the middle and at the end of each month, that will explore various aspects of Central Florida history. In today's episode, The Hontoon Island Totems, we examine the material culture of the Native Americans who lived in the Middle St. Johns River area near what is now Hontoon Island State Park, through the study of three wooden totems found in the area. We discuss the totems with three experts who look at their origins, purpose, symbolism, and mythology.
Hi, I'm Kim Hasbrook. Welcome to this podcast about the Hontoon Island Totems. Three Native American totems, an owl, a pelican, and an otter, have been found on the island or in the area surrounding Hontoon Island Park since 1955. The park is located on the St. Johns River near DeLand, Florida. The totems, most notably the large owl, are unique artifacts. These items offer us an exciting insight on the material culture of the Native Americans who lived in the area that is now Hontoon Island State Park. This podcast will explore the history of these artifacts, the information they provide about Native American culture, and a few of the myths surrounding the owl totem. To ascertain the vital statistics on the owl, the largest and best known of the totems, I spoke with Craig Morris, a U.S. Park Service ranger at the Timaquan Preserve in Jacksonville, Florida.
The Hontoon Island totem is made out of a yellow pine tree, giving it sort of a pine straw look. It's not a deep, dark brown, but it's not a light brown color. The totem itself, from the top of the ears to the bottom of its talons, is roughly 6 feet 3 inches. It is obviously perched on like a limb. That's the impression it gives. And it is very intricately carved. At its greatest width, it is probably about 17 inches. I know that it is extremely heavy. When the old Fort Caroline Museum was turned into the Timaquan Preserve Visitor Center Museum, we had to lift it. It might as well have been made out of metal. It is one of the largest wooden totems, definitely the largest ever found in Florida, if not Southeast United States.
That intricate carving was achieved with the tools the Native Americans could produce from the resources available.
Fire was the first tool used to create the totem. That's how they got the trees to fall down, because they didn't have tools that they could chop with that would be good for felling a tree. Then some stone tools were used. Very obvious that shark's teeth were an important tool in creating the owl, because you can see evidence of them if you look very carefully at the serrated edge, that they would have helped make these delicate carved lines on the owl. And then shell gouges, in other words, shell daggers, if you will, made from conch and whelk shells. And then last but not least, sand was used, much like we would use sandpaper.
You may be asking how the Timaquan Preserve is connected to artifacts found in DeLand. Ranger Morris explains.
In 1983, former Congressman Charles Bennett, congressman that helped get the legislation passed for Fort Caroline and then for the Timaquan Preserve, had it permanently moved to the Fort Caroline Museum, and then Fort Caroline became part of the Timaquan Preserve in 1988. What he wanted was a symbol of the Timaquan people. They don't have a flag. There's none of them still around. But he saw this as a monument of beautiful artwork.
Before the owl went on display as a symbol of the Timaquans, it was pulled from the St. John's River, and people began trying to place its age and the archaeological period in which it was crafted.
The owl was discovered by somebody who was dredging, drag lining the muck of the St. John's River south of the land near the Hontoon Island site at a place called the Thursby, mid and late June of 1955. They pulled it up, they realized the importance of it, and then they let it settle back into the muck to preserve it. And towards the end of the month, with archaeologists present, it was removed from the anaerobic conditions of the mud, which kept it from being exposed to decaying organisms. That's the reason this is so rare, is that anyone realizes that wood in Florida, if not preserved with some type of a chemical, will easily rot. So this thing being down in those very high acidic conditions in that muck, that's why this extraordinary artifact was preserved for so many years. How old is it? Anywhere from 1400 to 1500 AD. And the reason that date is given is because of the artifacts discovered around it. And those were of what we call the late St. John's II period. And that was the time frame, 1400 to 1500 AD.
I also asked him about how the Park Service is working to preserve this piece of Central Florida history.
Well, the University of Florida lab did the work for us way back when. They coated it with chemicals that would retard wood from rotting. I don't know exactly the one used, but it's safe that to say that something like a polyvinyl acetate that would soak into the wood, and we have it under constant temperatures that rarely fluctuate. We have it in such a place where it is 24/7 being recorded by security cameras, and then in the visitor center, when people are in there, there's always somebody there to avoid it being mistreated.
Since there is no written documentation from the artisan who crafted the owl totem about why it was created or what it symbolizes, there are many theories as to its purpose, symbolism, and significance. Ranger Morris offered several ways to think about what the owl may have meant to the Native Americans who created it. He begins with the theory of the first archaeologist who examined the totem in 1955 as to what it might have symbolized.
One of the most interesting features of the totem itself, along with its extraordinary craftsmanship, is the fact that it shows signs of anthropomorphism. And what that means is that it has both animal characteristics and human characteristics. It has the eyes of an owl, but if you look more closely, you see the almond human eyes. If you look at its talons, there are five. Owls don't have five talons, they have four. So whoever created this work of art knew what they were doing. They were giving it both animal and human characteristics. Okay, what does that symbolize? Well, owls were very special creatures to the shamanistic beliefs of the early Timaquan Native Americans of the Deland area. Owls do things that most birds don't do. They hunt at night. They have the wings that are very silent. They were associated with the nature god and were thought to be his messengers. In Florida anthropologist September of 55, that was the best guess of the archaeologist at the time, and it still holds to be true.
Next, he detailed the role it may have played in the culture and society of the Native Americans in the Middle St. John's area.
One of the ways that totems were used was being associated with the houses of the dead, the charnel house. When Native American died, what they would be placed in is what's known as a charnel house. They would be laid out in this very special house above a burial mound. Their flesh would be allowed to rot off, and then their relatives would come clean the bones and place them into bundles and then into jars. After a great leader died, they would place his extended body in like a normal burial pattern and then put these bundles of his people into the ground around him or her and to this another layer on the burial mound itself. And so that's how these things progressed in height. And so this owl could have been at the base of one of those charnel house burial mounds as a sign that all would be understood to stay away from this, that this is as far as you go. And that very well could be what this totem was used for.
Ranger Morris also talked about what makes this totem different from totems in other parts of North America, and what it says about the spirituality of the Native Americans in this part of Central Florida.
When we say totems, people automatically think of the Northwest. This was not a clan totem. It could have been, but it really, this is showing no kinship value at all. For it to have anthropomorphism, it was somehow connected with their spirituality. That in and of itself gets it. National, if not regional, and by that I mean North and South American, important. Any animal that did something that most animals don't do was revered. And owls were touchy subjects for these people. If you startle one in the woods, it was believed that bad things to you would follow. But if you heard owls doing their natural calls, that it was a sign that everything was well with nature. When you hear owls today and you know things like this, you realize that they were highly revered beings, and you listen to them, they are a beautiful sounding bird. And so these people wanted balance with nature, of course, because nature was all they had to observe. And to hear these beautiful birds talking to each other and talking perhaps to the moon itself or whatever causes them to make their calls at night, it is almost like a beautiful night sonata. And you can imagine these people thinking the same things.
I spoke with others who are knowledgeable about Florida archaeology and asked for their thoughts on the symbolism, significance, and mythology of the totems. First, I talked with Dr. Ken Sassaman, the Hyatt and C.C. Brown Professor of Archaeology in the Department of Anthropology at the University of Florida, about his work at the Summer Archaeology Field Schools in the Middle St. Johns River area, which included extensive work at Hontoon Island. Professor Sassaman discussed the totem significance within the context of Hontoon Island's history.
I do have a very strong opinion about it, but it shouldn't be taken as cynicism about the validity of it or its significance. That the owl totem and the other totems that have been recovered from the channel of the St. Johns River appear to have come from the site that's north of Hontoon Island. It's the Thursby Mound. So this is late prehistoric stuff, early historic or protohistoric. And we think, but we don't know with certainty, that the totems are from that site. And given that they're from that site and knowing what we know about that site, they most likely were associated with platforms that were built out into the water, and they may very well have been funerary platforms. But they don't seem to have come from Hontoon Island per se, just directly across the channel, the north bank of the St. John's Channel, where the Thursby Mound is. That today is the parking lot for Hontoon Island, and it's the point from which the little ferry boat is launched. But its significance at Hontoon Island has been blown way out of proportion, and it's misplaced. So it didn't come from Hontoon Island. It doesn't signify what is most significant about Hontoon Island, and it does not connect them up with the Timucuan Indians in any significant fashion, in any real, direct, scientific fashion. So it's a symbol. It's an important symbol. It reminds people that there was a glorious past there, that it involved very sophisticated Native American populations that had really rich culture and tradition and ritual. That's all good. But to think of it as the most important thing that happened there or the embodiment of all that history, I don't think that's very accurate.
I also spoke with George Long, an anthropology instructor at the University of Central Florida who specializes in archaeology and teaches Florida archaeology. Mr. Long discussed the totem's significance relative to their place in Florida archaeology.
It's a very important artifact for several reasons. For one thing, it's one of the largest wooden artifacts that you have of that period in Florida. It's old yet well preserved. The reason being it's taken from the bottom of the river where wooden objects can be preserved in the mud. It tells us a little bit about their craftsmanship. It shows the how it was formed. You can see the carving marks on it. It tells us a little bit about what might be important in their culture, which obviously seems to have some totemic significance in that it revered an animal. There was others found there. I think it was an otter and also a pelican. It's just generally an outstanding piece of craftsmanship and very good example of a preservation, a wet site preservation. That's outstanding, some of the materials that are preserved in wet locations like that.
I asked Mr. Long for his opinion on who created the totem and when it was crafted.
I don't know how they can exactly date it. And then when Timucuas lived there in historic times, but if it was made before that particular tribal group, you know, arrived in the area.
Normally, it would be difficult to think of Florida on the same artistic plane with Europe during this period, but Ranger Morris places the owl into context with the Renaissance.
Consider if this thing is 1400 to 1500 AD, think about the works of art were being created in stone in the Renaissance of Europe. And those people had tools of all types. These people are using extremely primitive tools, and here they make this absolutely beautiful. You look at it and you realize that A, someone had the vision to make it. Two, they took extreme care to do it. While Michelangelo, Da Vinci, at the same time, were churning out their own masterpieces. Can you imagine who this person was that here in Florida at the same time could create themselves? And this is their work of art, and we will never know their name.
Thank you for joining me for this podcast on the Hontoon Island Totems. I hope you enjoyed it. If you found it interesting, please join me for the companion podcast on the history of Hontoon Island State Park.
Thank you for listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Feel free to contact us with any questions or comments on the program that you just heard. Please join us for the next episode, The Winter Garden Heritage Foundation, Preserving Florida's Past.
Thousand.
Bombay.
Geneva.
I just
Vero, bitch.
Danella.